When you think about Victorian literature, you might think of great love stories like Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice or Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights. You might think of long dresses and bonnets and unrequited love.
The most incomprehensible thing in the world to a man is a woman who rejects his offer of marriage.
When I heard that you were to marry, I had one thought in my head I would return. Have one glimpse of your face. Settle my score with Hindley, then prevent the law by executing myself. Now I see I should have stuck to my course.
You knew when I was to marry and you didn't return to stop me from taking such a step.
Miss Elizabeth, I have struggled in vain and I can bear it no longer. These past months have been a torment. I came to Rosings with the single object of seeing you. I had to see you.
So you're aware why I wished you to come here. Because it would make me happier than anything. Too happy, really, if you would agree to what I wish.
And stay with you.
And stay with me.
And marry you.
And marry me.
But would you think of passionate affairs and erotic love scenes? Not so much. But a new book argues there's more brewing behind all of that English prose. And the show's Lauren Gilger joins us now with more on this. Good morning, Lauren.
Morning, Mark. So in her new book, Exquisite Masochism, Marriage, Sex, and the Novel Form, Stanford English professor Claire Jarvis argues that Victorian novelists were actually masters of the art of building sexual tension without ever mentioning the word sex. I spoke with her recently more about that book and what led to this hidden sexuality in Victorian literature.
I think art has always grappled with sexuality, and in earlier periods, I think this was a little bit more explicit. The 18th century was a period of representational licentiousness. There's lots of sex in the 18th century novel, in the 18th century paintings, in 18th century engravings. But by the time we get to the 19th century, there's a kind of push towards making especially novels respectable for middle-class consumers. So I think one of the things that happens is as the novel becomes more respectable, novelists have to figure out ways to represent sexual desire in really G-rated ways.
Right, and how do they do that?
Well, the argument I make in the book is that they use what I call exquisitely masochistic scenes. So they use scenes that feature a kind of heightened attention to detail, specifically detail around clothing and physiognomy, the way people's bodies look, and they kind of slow down the action and ramp up the description in a way that slows down narrative time and allows you to kind of experience the physical encounter between a character and another character more evocatively. And when you start to see it in novels, you start to realize that these novels are deeply invested, not just in the marriage plot, you know, the idea that you want a couple to end up to get married at the end of the novel, but that they're interested in placing sexual desire at the core of that marriage plot.
Right. And so why couldn't they, in Victorian society, talk more directly about sex and sexual desires? Was it just not socially acceptable, or was it more to do with social structures at the time?
One of the big shifts is in the kind of readers that the novel as a genre was trying to court. And as the novel became more associated specifically with female authors, I think there is a push, a kind of representational push, to make sure that young, impressionable female readers were not being tainted by their novel reading.
And I want to talk a little bit about this idea of the dominant woman that you talk about, this sort of femme fatale. What's your best example of that?
The one most readers will recognize is Kathy from Wuthering Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine Earnshaw, who is a character who has a kind of deep commitment to control. She really wants to make sure that Heathcliff, the kind of anti-hero of Wuthering Heights, is completely within her grasp. These are characters who seem to get a kind of satisfaction from imperiousness, from lording control over the men that are interested in them.
So that I think sort of seems like a contrast to me, because when you think of Victorian women, you think of sort of sexual repression.
The angel in the house.
Right,
yeah,
right. Women in a very specific women's role. And I wonder sort of when you're looking at it that way, are those women challenging their society at the same time?
So there are plenty of characters that fit both the angel in the house model and the dominant woman model. Usually those characters are the sort of ingenue who learns by the example of a more explicit dominant woman how to navigate the kind of dialectic between the kind of domestic marriage plot and this, the world of sexual desires.
What message would you like people to understand about this? When they read an old novel, you don't want them to read it like they're answering historical questions, right? You want them to read it like it would have been read at the time. And it sounds like to you, you think that if it had been read at the time, these sorts of sexual undertones would have been understood.
I think they would have been more explicit, yes. I also think it's not that I would say you need to read the novel as it was read at the time, because I think we live in a different period. I would say I think we can read these as erotic texts. And mm-hmm. I think one of the things that is so challenging about reading 19th century novels is that we were very quick to pat ourselves on the back for living in the 21st century, for saying, you know, we have very different ideas about class, about race, about sexuality.
Yeah.
And I think if we read this way, we're able to see that the understandings we have of these categories were already in flux in the 19th century. And they're different. They're represented differently. And they are, in fact, I think they probably were experienced differently. But that there are just as many sort of erotic tensions and excitements in novels that maybe to our reading seem more staid or repressive. And that would be one of the things I would sort of argue for, is that if we read with a sensitive eye, we can see some of the passions and darker and perhaps more unsettling emotions that were circulating in the readership and in the writers at the time.
All right. Claire Jarvis is a professor of English at Stanford, and she is the author of the book Exquisite Masochism, Marriage, Sex, and the Novel Form. Claire, thanks for joining us today.
Great. Thank you very much.
And that's the show's Lauren Gilger. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you.